So indeed, I'm going to talk to you about first results in an approach to supervisory control in the Internet of Things or smart environments, which is using discrete control in order to manage some configurations and reconfigurations. So it's joint work with people at Orange Labs in Grenoble. Orange, which was called France Telecom earlier, and which is a major operator selling, you know, boxes. And boxes are doing phone, internet, and TV, but they want these boxes also to have other purposes, to sell more of them. And one of them is to manage smart home, typically, kind of stuff. So the motivation here is to look at the Internet of Things, well, or more specifically to smart environments, as they are called, because they, so these environments are instrumented with sensors and also actuators. All of this is networked, and so my colleague at Orange Lab likes to see those environments as outside-in robots, in the sense that you are inside the robot. But well, anyway, these sensor actuator systems have to be controlled, of course, and in the context of smart homes, buildings, and cities, it's a quite open application domain where a lot of things have to be done, especially in my view, in the sense that it's mostly computer science people who are going at it, and so the control aspects are needing control techniques, as usual. Right. So the kind of control techniques I'm interested in here is discrete control. And so the relevance here is that, as I said, yes, so you have to control these environments, and the fact of separation of concerns, the fact of separately modeling possible behaviors of your different entities, and on the other side, control objectives is a good design practice. And so this is a motivation to use control techniques. And instead of using the more classical continuous models, which you saw a lot of examples today, I'm going to use discrete models, which could be Petri nets, for example, but in my case, I'm using finite state machines or automata. So the work here, which is just beginning for one and a something year, is about discrete control for this kind of environments, and we are proposing a quite systematic modeling framework based on automata and discrete control synthesis. So the way we interface to these application domain is that the people we are working with at Orange Labs, they have devised this complex abstraction layer, considering these systems as having a physical layer here, where you have spaces, meaning actually rooms or halls and things like that. You have things which are devices, which can be heaters or washing machines and things like that. They are observed and, well, connected to sensors and actuators, as usual. And what we will call entity is the part of the control system here, which is knowing about the state of these different spaces and things through sensors and actuators, and which will also be making the connections between sensors and actuators. And on top of that, you have supervisory controllers, which are essentially managing, I would say, basic issues like safety and basic and quite local properties, whereas there is a upper level application layer, which will be more in charge of, for example, optimizing energy consumption in a building and things like that. So we are at this intermediary stage. Okay, and the long-term view is that these different supervisory controllers will be considered as services in a service-oriented architecture, with an emphasis on genericity of the controllers and also on the models of entities. But so in this present work we are starting, so we will not have much genericity. We will be talking about instances of these models. So the other piece of background, which I am presenting here not for the first time, because in previous years you have seen these slides already, but so this is about the kind of modeling formalism I'm using. So it's essentially, as I said, based on automata. So you have an example here. It's automata which are taking as input flows of values, which can be events or values of sensors or true-false values, and they are producing outputs in reply to that. And the way it works in this small example is that you have this small automaton for some task, which can be initially idle, and when you receive R, which is a request, you go either to the active state, which is here below, or you go to the waiting state, and this happens according to the value of a second input, which is called C. So you have a choice of control. You reply to a request by either activating immediately or delaying the activation because of some external reason. And later, when the control signal becomes true, you can go to the active state. And finally, you have an input E, which is a notification of the end of that activity, and which brings you back to the idle state. So this small example is motivating the fact that we use that kind of model. So we are really interested in configurations of local entities, which can be in one of a few, one of a finite number of states, and transitions between these states are commanded by events or values, and you can have some choices on some of the variables. So there is a textual variant of this language. So the concrete language is textual, but I'm using pictures because it's nicer. And so we have not only a formal model here, but also concrete programming languages with which you can program in those terms and have parallel composition of such automata, building big ones from small ones, and different code generation tools and verification tools, and also a notion which comes from control theory, and which is discrete controller theory. So, discrete controller synthesis, sorry. So the idea here is that once you have such a transition system model, so you have a state which changes according to transitions, function of the state and the input, and you go to a new state, you can also have outputs. And so the idea is to having a system and the model of its dynamics described like that, you would like to control it in order to enforce some property. And for this, you have to distinguish between the controllable variables and the uncontrollable ones. And then the synthesis of a controller is a formal operation on these automata, which is computing the controller here, which will be producing the values, the appropriate values for the controllable variables, so at the control points, so that the resulting control behavior of the automaton enforces the property. So it's a kind of operation which is related to model checking, but a bit different, and which is implemented in a tool which I integrated in other work in a programming language. So what I have to say here is that I have a programming language, and I will show examples of models later, where I am able to define local models in terms of automata. I'm able to compose them. Here I have two instances of my small three-state automaton in parallel. And then what I'm saying here is that when I have these two tasks in parallel, I want to enforce the fact that they will never be active at the same time. So it's a simple mutual exclusion. And I just declaratively say, I want this Boolean expression to be enforced. This says not A1 and A2, not active 1 and active 2. I declare who are the controllables, which are C1 and C2. And if I compile that, I will obtain a result which is an automaton which will always avoid the state where both are active at the same time. So you don't have to write the code which would avoid starting the one when the other is active and reciprocally and so on. This is done automatically. And this is so discrete control. Just a little bit of background again. It's the relationship with autonomic computing. So here, compared with the classical MAPK structure, the essential idea is that we have some knowledge about the managed element, which is captured by this automaton, giving the model of possible behaviors. So you have the state here and the transition function. Sensors are monitored and give the inputs to these automata. The outputs will be processed and executed through the actuators. And the fact of having a controller, which is synthesized, comes up there in the fact that given the current monitored inputs and present state you know of your system, you can influence the transition function in order to take the good transitions and not the bad ones. So, and so we have some notions of modularity and hierarchy for that, but so this is context. So, what these control techniques are good at is really about everything which has to do with discrete states, being in a state, avoiding bad states, and staying in good states, and also about sequences of events which can bring you to a state. You can avoid some or force other ones. And so this is what I want to use here in these smart environments. So let me give some precisions about the kind of environments we are considering by the example. So this is a typical small home, and we want to make it smart by coordinating the different entities which are visible here. So you have a TV, a washing machine, an oven, lamp, radiator, windows, windows and door which can be partly controlled. So some of these things can be controlled automatically, others only by the user, and others not at all. We can also have things which we only observe. And the idea is to have a controller here, which going through this abstract layer, which I showed in the beginning, would manage the different changes of states of these entities in such a way that it is enforcing some issues of safety. Like, for example, there should also always be a source of light on when there is someone in the room, not sleeping, which is a question of mood, or issues of economy and comfort, which is about comfort is about the fact of having, for example, heating, and economy would be the fact of avoiding instantaneous power peaks, like having the oven heating strongly and so consuming much, and the heater at the same time, for example. So the basic entities here will be, for this example, doors, windows, which are openings. We will have lamps, TV, and radiator, which are emitting light and heat, respectively. And so we will see how we can model different kinds of such entities, like a radiator, which can have more or less interesting states, like a frost-free and a different economic and high mode. The oven can have several states too, and the washing machine can have phases in sequence, so that's more interesting. And so the sensors and actuators are, as I said, a present sensor, open and closed sensors for the door and window, and we can control plugs alimenting the TV and lamp, and we have some control on the washing machine phases as well. So this is for the entities in presence. And the reconfiguration policy, it's the other side of what you have to model and specify. We have different categories of objectives, which are families of objectives, which have different motivations. You have safety, security, which is different in the sense that safety is about not putting the inhabitants in danger, and security is about defending oneself from external aggression. Say, you have energy efficiency and the notion of comfort. So all these categories are given by the application domain by my colleagues at Orange Labs, and so. Informally here, for our example, we have a series here of five objectives which are written in English and which I will subsequently formalize into a discrete control problem. So you should have at least one light source on when the room is occupied, as I said. You should close window and door when the room is not occupied in order to keep external people out. You have a more energy-related objective, which is that you should not have a window or door open when you are heating up the room. And so conversely, if the room is unoccupied, you can switch off everything and so on. Okay, so I will now go into modeling that as a automata-based behaviors and discrete control objectives, and so here we go. So it's based on the example, but it's quite systematic, as you will see. For a door and a room, for example, you have two states, which are on-off not on-off, but open and closed, and empty and occupied. So the room is simply an observer, because you do not control the presence of people in the room, but you observe it. And the door, for example, here, you can control it partially in the sense that it can be opened either by so it can be opened by pushing on it, and if the controllable variable here, C door, is true, so you can control it in the sense that you can keep it closed. The other way around, you have a condition with an OR, which means that the door will go shut if you push it closed or if the controller decides to. The heater here has four states. This was a way to distinguish between, you know, economic and high modes. So the interesting thing here is that you can control it partially by preventing the user to make it go on in stronger heating states. So you can prevent the heater from going up in consumption, and you can force it to go down. And each of these states is labeled with power value here, which is indicating what's the instantaneous power consumption. More local models. So a washing machine here has an interesting thing, which is that, so this one was inspired by an actual description of a washing machine. You have phases which are quite sequential, you know, filling up, heating the water, washing, rinsing, spinning. And so in different phases, the energy or power consumption can be quite different, which is indicated by these values here. And you have one control on this machine, so it's not a commercial machine, because commercial machines are not equipped with a USB port which would enable to stop them, but we suppose this one is. And so we can stop it at the starting here, after the water filling state, if we need to. And an oven, which we have here, well, so each of these models is, of course, application specific, but still, what you can see is the kind of states which we distinguish. They are distinguished by the fact that we can choose how to go out of a state or not, and we can also distinguish them by their contribution to the total consumption of power in context. And so the last one, this one is a bit different. It's an automaton which is just keeping track of which is the actual current management policy which you want to have. So you can think of your little box on the wall, and you can have three different policies: the minimal safety one, the economic one, and the comfort one. And the difference is that you change the value of power limit here, which is higher in the comfort mode than in the economic mode, and it's minimal in the minimal safety mode, meaning that in that mode you will only ensure some very basic properties, but not the comfort ones. So each of these automata was a very local behavior model of what the local entity could do, so it's not very hard to assess. It's also a local model of what controllability you have or not in each of the local components. And the idea is that the global system on which you want to establish some control is simply the parallel composition of all these local models, plus a few indications of how local indications of local power consumption, how they add up in order to define a global consumption. So in our case, power, it's simply additive, so it's not complicated, but it could be a bit more elaborate. And so we have all these automata, including this management policy automaton. And so based on that, what we have to do now is to specify the control objective. So the control which we want is to make invariant the subset of states where all the policy rules will be enforced. It's not the case if you simply, if you simply put in parallel all these models, you have all the possible behaviors, including opening windows and heating at the maximum level, and having the oven on, and also having the washing machine on. So the idea here is that you do not need to write the controller, which will be deciding on what are the good sequences and what are the bad ones. You declare the rules which you want to be enforced by an invariance control. And so here it's a quite direct, although in a logical language, a quite direct encoding of the informal rules which I showed before. Like when the room is occupied, so we have this Boolean here coming from the sensor, which or from the observer of the room, which tells us it's true, then the lamp or TV should be on. If the room is not occupied, then we should have this Boolean here, which is false, which means that open or door open or window open should be false. So neither of them should be open. If they're open, then the radiator or heater should be either in the off state or in the frost-free state, but not in the higher ones, and so on. And the last one here is a bit more fun because it says the total power consumed by this environment should be less or equal than the current value of PL, and this PL is depending on the current state of this policy automaton, which means that we have here a reference of the control which can be changed, and the control will follow. Okay, so, and once you have declared the local behaviors, their composition, and these rules, you compile and you get an executable code which is doing exactly that. So given the flow of inputs, it will produce the right flow of outputs commands to the system. Okay, so in this preliminary work, so what we did was to do that kind of modeling and some implementation and simulation using a simulator which looks like this. So it's not very beautiful, but it seems to be a simulator which is used in IoT smart home projects, and which is reacting to a graphical interface where the user can click on events and things like that, and also on more or less random moving of a character in the rooms. And it worked. So the conclusion is that these are first results in the direction of using discrete supervisory controllers related to discrete control theory applied in this application domain, where at least a good part of the behaviors to be controlled are of a logical nature, in the sense that they concern logical states and sequences, and which you want to avoid and some which you want to force, and that we have here the beginning of a systematic modeling framework, which is separating concerns of modeling between possible behaviors and policies, control policies, and we also have a framework which enables the automatic generation of these controllers and their implementation and experimental validation. And so the perspectives are in several directions, of course. One of them is to consider that I do not expect people to write that kind of automata themselves. But the idea of having a systematic modeling framework with quite obvious patterns which are emerging from this manual modeling phase. So this leads us to think that a kind of domain-specific language in terms of these environments should be quite easy to define, and we would have an automated generation not only of the automata but also of the objectives. And then we can use more elaborate control techniques and do more experiments. And just a final point to say that so the motivation here and in other topics to use discrete control is that it's a kind of high-level modeling of that kind of behaviors, logical behaviors, and that the controllers which we obtain, they are not only safe in the sense that the synthesis algorithm produces the solution if it exists, but it also produces a maximally permissive controller, and this, even for not so large systems, would be really hard to do if you design the controller manually. And just to end up, these kind of techniques are used in other application domains like the cloud or FPGA architectures. Thank you.
Okay. Next question for Eric.
So Eric, are you also thinking in terms of role-based planners, or is the set of control objectives known ahead of time?
Goal-based planners, like in AI, you mean?
For example, when I'm creating the control algorithm, I can differentiate and I say that I want my laundry done, and I want my pool cooked, and I want to stay comfortable, figure out what sequence this thing should be.
So right now, as I said in the beginning, we are more into designing supervisory controllers which will avoid the typically the power peaks and the obvious exclusive things which you want to keep exclusive. The whole discrete control thing is more about inhibiting bad behavior rather than yes. So, but there are a few answers to that. If you want to put progress in your controllers, there is a notion of having controllers enforcing reachability of some either goal state or safe state, if you want to manage the fact that you always want to be able to go to a safe state. But pushing the system forward, we can do it, but it's not... it's not using this kind of control techniques which I was showing. Invariance is more about avoiding bad things than achieving good ones.
Okay. And then earlier on in the morning, there was also this discussion about sort of categorical variables versus continuous variables. Are you also looking at continuous variables as subsets of this system?
Indeed, not. In the sense that this is a big difference between continuous control and discrete control. I think that discrete models are bad in quantitative questions and reciprocally. If you have a question of logics, mutual exclusion, or complicated sequential patterns, then discrete models are better. So Initially, these two worlds are quite separate. Now, as I showed here, I can insert some kind of quantitative aspects, but not very fine. And if you want to go further, then you will have timed automata or hybrid automata, which are able to express both, but then the analysis and synthesis techniques become extremely expensive or the problems indecidable. So there is, a real domain for creative research in the sense of combining discrete controllers and continuous controllers, which could be seen maybe as a way of composability. If you have a discrete controller switching between continuous controllers, it could be interesting. Yeah, but so it's perspectives.
Open question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.